Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Are you ready for some testimonies? Are you ready to hear what God is doing in our church? With joy, help me welcome Mula, even as he brings his testimony this morning. Oh, yes. Oh, please encourage him. Encourage him.
Hello.
Hello.
Please, your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, please. My name is Mula, and I'm a member of the New Life, and I'm also a member of the 100 Voices Choir.
Oh, wow. Please tell us what the Lord has done for you.
All right, so my testimony is just about how God healed both my back and my knees just this past week.
Double healing, just this past week.
Please
tell us how it came about.
Okay, so I don't know when the pain actually started, but I think if I should think about this, it was somewhere around the end of last semester.
Okay.
And I had this, it wasn't that much, it was just this discomfort in my back and my knee. And I just thought, oh, maybe it's just maybe exam stress because maybe I wasn't sleeping well or something. So I thought that, oh, maybe if I go home, maybe I'll just apply some rub or mental or something and go. But I tried everything and it still kept on.
You tried everything?
Everything. And it still kept on. So when I was home and I saw the flyer for Pastor Benny Hinn's visit at wow. First Love HQ.
Okay.
But unfortunately, I'd already bought a ticket to come to Kumasi. That's very Saturday that he was about to arrive in Ghana.
Tell your neighbor mercy.
So long and short, I just came to campus. And I said, I might not be there presently, but even if I can just stream, maybe something might just happen.
Tell your neighbor that you might not be there, but even if you just stream, you'll receive your miracle.
So unfortunately, I didn't start the first session early. I think I was way into the word. When I came in, I started worshiping. I said, oh, I missed the word. I said, maybe I'll go and reach him. So first day, nothing happened. But the presence was very, 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 very tangible.
Okay.
And then on the second day, I tried my best. When I woke up, like I slept in the afternoon, I woke up. Basically, I woke up, they started streaming. So I joined, I listened to all the preaching. And when it got to the point where Pastor Benny started ministering to us, it was a point where he said that anybody who has pain, you should place your hand wherever the pain is.
How many of you remember Pastor Benny said that? Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I placed my hand on my back, just around my back. And I just believed that God should just do whatever. If it doesn't work out, fine. But if it works out too, it still doesn't disprove that God is the God he is.
Okay.
And so when I touched my back, I just forgot about it. And I just, because the worship session was just so amazing. I just let go. Even while streaming, I wasn't there in person, but just listening to the music and listening to how Pastor Benny was pouring out his heart ministering to us was just enough to heal me. But then he said, you should just check if the pain or anywhere it is, feel if there's some heat, if there's some numbness, or you can just like not feel the pain at all. So I just took a quick squat. A very strong one.
On the same knee.
On the same knee.
That you were not able to squat on.
Yes. And when I squatted, and I said, the pain is gone.
Like the pain. Oh, you did not hear what he said. He was able to do what he wasn't able to do. Hallelujah. After you squatted, the pain was not there anymore.
Yes. But when I checked the back, the discomfort was still there. I said, well, God has done it. It's more than enough. Then Secret Place came on this.
Oh, way. Yes.
And Pastor Russell ministered also. He also helped us enter into the presence of God. And the same thing happened. I just started worshiping. And then when I was worshiping, I didn't even notice. So I got to my room. Then I lie down to sleep. And when I lie down, I noticed that I'm actually comfortable. Like, I'm not feeling
the back pain also was not there anymore. Oh, I think it's a good place to put your hands together and recognize what God has done. Hallelujah. Yes, you realize that throughout his testimony, he was showing signs of faith and belief that even if I'm not there, if I'm able to stream, I'll receive my healing. Even in the secret place, he came here and he was able to connect to the presence of God. Oh, yes. And he received his healing. Hallelujah. What would you like to tell the church, Mula?
All I have to say is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 20.
Okay, tell us.
That God has given us his Holy Spirit to know the exceeding greatness of his power, even through his mighty power, through Jesus Christ. That raised him from the grave and set him up above all high and heavenly places in this world.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And that God's power is still real. And the God we are serving is not, he's not a God that we just hear about. He's a real God. And he's a person who cares about you and me and all of us in the church. And believe that the Holy Spirit is real.
Oh, let's put our hands together for Mula. Oh, yes. What a blessing. May the healing be complete in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you are excited to be in church this morning? What a lot of you don't know is that for some weeks now, almost a month, our mother was not here with us. And by the grace of God, the Lord has brought her here finally with us. Mom, we want to say you are welcome. We miss you. We love you. We are excited that you are here. But before mommy comes up, we have a little surprise for her and a little surprise for you all. I am excited. Aren't you excited? Media team, please take us there. Come on. Oh, make some noise.
From Ghana to Ethiopia, from Ethiopia to London, from London to Miami, and onward to Atlanta, where she ministered and shared God's word with our church family. From Atlanta back to Miami, then onward to Belize, where lives were impacted through a special pastor's conference, a one-day camp, and a powerful Sunday service with the First Love Church. From Belize, the journey continued through Miami, London, and Ethiopia. Then onward to Singapore, carrying the gospel to yet another nation. And finally, through Ethiopia, back home to Ghana. What may seem like a journey across countries was, in reality, a journey of purpose. For there are moments when God calls his servants beyond familiar borders, beyond cities, nations, and continents, carrying a message of hope, faith, and transformation to his people around the world. Over the past weeks, our beloved pastor has answered that call with dedication, passion, and unwavering commitment to the work of God. Across every airport, every city, every church, every gathering, and every service, the mission remained the same: to preach Christ, strengthen believers, encourage leaders, and advance the kingdom of God. Many were blessed. Many were encouraged. Leaders were empowered. And lives were transformed through the ministry of God's word. Today, as we look back on this remarkable journey, we celebrate not only the miles traveled, but the lives touched, the seeds planted, and the impact made for eternity. Mummy, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your obedience to God's call. Thank you for carrying the gospel across nations and serving faithfully wherever the Lord sends you. On behalf of the entire church family, we say, welcome home, Mummy. We are grateful for all that God has done through you, and we rejoice to have you safely back with us. May the Lord continue to strengthen you, guide you, and use you mightily for his glory. From God.
Wow! Those of us in present service, those of us in present service, we want to say, Mommy, welcome back. We miss you. We love you. We can't wait to hear from you. With shouts of joy, help me welcome the ministry of our mother, our pastor, our shepherd, E.S.J. Philippa Bruce.
God for taking us on our holiday wherever you went or whatever you were doing and bringing us back to the start of a new semester. And you just want to commit yourself to Him. And you just want to commit the semester. Hey, are there mice in the church or you forgot how to pray when you went home? Lift your voice up. Lift your voice up for a moment in thanksgiving. Thank Him for bringing us back. Just lift up your voice this morning.
Father, we thank you.
Lift it up. Lift it up. Pray like a believer. Pray like you are really grateful. So many things could have stopped you from coming back.
We are very, very grateful.
But we are back to the last of the
Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank
in
you,
health,
Lord,
in
that
strength,
you have made it possible.
In spite of all the difficulties, you are
here. Heavenly Father, thank you.
We give you praise.
Lord, we want to
Father, we are so grateful. Thank you so much for this morning. I pray, Lord, that your grace and mercy will be with us and for the throughout the whole semester. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all the things that we've experienced, the different testimonies. May your name be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Wow. Are you glad to be back on campus? Amen. We thank God for grace. Oh, are you there? Oh, you have stopped thanking God. When you went home, they told you that you shouldn't thank God again. Well, it's also great to be back, and thank you so much for your welcome. It's always nice to be back here. Amen. And it's also nice to visit different parts of the body of Christ and see that their body is well. Amen. Are you there? One of the pictures they were showing us was a church that looked very much like our church. Yeah. It's a very nice First Love Church in Belize. And it was nice to meet people there and see people working for the Lord. Hey, ask your neighbor, what are you doing for the Lord? Oh, what are you doing for the Lord? Are you still just thinking of yourself? Me, myself, and I. Oh? Because the missionary couple there, they were in the UK when God sent them there. Wow. If your back leg reaches the UK, you say, I can't go anywhere again. Hey! Anyway. So it's good to be back. Now let's just take a couple of announcements so that I don't forget. Is it? You are ready to write down dates, isn't it? Yes. Well, the first thing is that our God Lovers service continues this Tuesday. It's been going on. You are the ones who have returned. You are the ones who have just come back. So we'll have our next one on Tuesday. And I just want to encourage as many of you as can to be there. Amen. One of the things that you should notice is that one day we'll be here and Jesus will come. Yeah. If you open your Bible and you read through Matthew 23, you can see that a lot of the signs are there. Yeah, that is coming back is imminent. So in the midst of all that you are doing, you need to realize that all the things you are doing, you can't carry one with you. How many subjects are you doing this year, this semester? Not one will cross anywhere. Are you there? When you get to heaven, you think they come to ask you your grades in chemistry? Whether you got A's or B's or you got F's. Those are things we do to survive on this earth. But we shouldn't forget that there is an everlasting life ahead of us. And we must be ready for it. Amen. So join the service on Tuesday. The Tuesday service is very different from the Sunday service. Yeah, because it is a service where you see that everybody wants to know something more about God. The opportunities to ask questions and things. Are you there? So are you saying that Sunday we are not serious? Of course you are not serious. Many people are not serious. Many people who say that, oh, I go to church once a week. You are coming to stamp, do your rubber stamp with God so that God will say he came. Hey, come on Sunday, that's all. Amen. Amen. So Sunday is a mix. Serious, not so serious, not so unserious, and unserious all together. Yeah, but Tuesday tends to be more something service. You come and taste it and see. Now, I've got also some news for you. Last semester, I believe I announced that we would have Pastor Issa with us for our Sounds of Joy this semester, and he's not able to make it this year to Ghana. But we're still going to have Sounds of Joy, and this year we're going to have it for 2 days. Yes. And I am very happy to announce to you that Bishop Dag's assistant of many years, Bishop E.A.T. Saki, will be here. Amen. So, he's going to be with us on the 25th and the 26th of June. Yeah, so it's just a few days from now. We're going to be at the Ayudiase Park. Amen. Oh, are you here? Some of you, the way you are sitting down there, it's like, oh, hey, Charlie. You see, there are preachers and there are preachers, and you got to hear this guy. Yeah. Are you there? Yeah. Tell anybody, there are preachers and there are preachers. Yeah. There's a man of God, a very experienced man of God. He was already a pastor when I was just a member in the church, and he stood by the side of our Father for so many years. He's been a missionary to Nigeria. In fact, all the countries, very wild countries. Nigeria, Brazil, he's back in Ghana. And we can't wait to hear him. Amen. So those are our dates, 25th, 26th, and then on 27th, we'll have a breakfast meeting with him. Amen. Yeah. So I believe it's going to be a very, very, very good time. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. I think you shouldn't miss it. But not only that, you need to be part of the effort to invite other people. That stubborn classmate who you can't witness to. The one who has been teasing you. Your group member who is a group member but very some way. He says that he's an atheist. Your roommate who has been smoking shisha he's a shishite or a weed. They are the people that must attend. They must attend. Amen. So make sure you are there. So I want you to mark those dates and decide that you're going to do your best. Oh, is this a good idea? Yeah. So we are really going to have a good time. I mean, some of the sermons he has preached, I can remember them up to today. I heard them like 25 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. I mean, powerful preaching and powerful miracles. So I'm excited. When we were on campus, Bishop Saki, he visited every room in Mensa Sabah Hall preaching the gospel. Wow. Yeah, very wild man of God. If you take the book that Bishop Dag wrote on Tell Them, go and find it. It's all free online. Go and find it. Open to the chapter called The Letters. And these are letters he wrote as a student. And you see that Charlie is a soul winner right from his bones. And I pray that he will leave some of that anointing with us. How many of us struggle to win souls? You struggle. Yeah, struggle. You struggle. But there's some people who don't struggle. It's an anointing. And I'm praying that that oil will remain with us. That we will also receive that so that it's easy soul winning. Are you in the church or have traveled? Yeah. Bishop Saki knows that. Jimmy, I'm a pastor. The way I struggle to remember names. Oh, Bishop Saki Chale. He knows the names in the hundreds. Many of you have stopped you twice or three times or even four times and said, what's your name? Oh! How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, Charlie, I'm looking for some anointing there. And yeah, I'm still trying to convince him to be here on the Sunday, but it hasn't worked yet. Yeah, it hasn't worked yet. Because he's away the whole of July, so he doesn't want to add one more Sunday to being away. But let us believe in the power of God. And let us also believe in the power of your smiles. And let us believe in your power to make somebody feel at home. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? So that what? He'll change his mind so that we can enjoy the Sunday too. Yeah, you never know what God will do. So may the Lord help us. Amen and amen. Powerful. Oh, please take your seat. And I also want to say that the First Love Conference comes off this year from the 8th to the 12th of August. You know, when we started making this announcement, August sounded so far away. But now there's like, it's just around the corner. It is a few days before, it ends a few days before you start your exams. And I want to say to you that it's up to you. Yeah, it's up to you to study, carry forward for those who want to go. Yeah. And we'll go and see what the Lord will do. Beautiful. Amen. Well, it's time to preach. Hallelujah. While we were at home, we had been talking about the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yeah. Even the places that I traveled to, we were all their First Love churches, so we're on the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. They're on the same thing. Charlie, are you there? We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We need him. We need him. Unfortunately, many of us, without knowing it, there's a subconscious thought that the Holy Spirit is inferior to God the Father and God the Son. When I say inferior to, it's like, oh yes, he's there, he's important, but yeah. I don't know how to describe it. But what? He's number three. He's number three, so he's not a senior member. Are you there? Hey, you are very quiet too. So you will happily sing songs of worship to God the Father. I mean, even more so to Jesus the Son. But Holy Spirit is something that we add on to the end of everything. Are you there? You are very quiet, as if I'm saying something that's wrong. But subconsciously, for many of us, it's there. If I ask you right now to speak to the Holy Spirit, you see that you are stuck. You are stuck. Your mind will go to Jesus or something. And the first thing is that some of us feel that, well, he's just a spirit. Is God three or is God one? This question. Is God three or is God one? To answer that question, I'll ask you if you are three or you are one. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Yeah. How many of you have lost a classmate before? Somebody has died. Good. When you heard the news, they told you that Kojo was dead. So when you went, Kojo's body was lying there. Are you there? Uh-huh. But something had left him. That's something that's left him. That's his spirit and his soul. If you need a scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Don't let me start preaching on this matter again because it will take us off the... But 1 Thessalonians 5:23 shows us that there are three distinct portions of you and they are not the same. They are not the same. They are very clear. You see? And it says that I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. There are three parts to you. Each one is you. Hello? You are suddenly very quiet. Each one is you. Can I ask you another question? Okay. When you get a broken heart? How many of us have had a broken heart before? Me too, my hand is up. Yeah, you are so proud. I will not say anything to you at all. Let me ask you, if your physical heart was broken, would you be here? No. So what are you talking about, your broken heart? It's showing you that there's something more to you than you. When a person is going to have an operation and we put them to sleep, what have we done? Where is the person? Is the person dead? Who said he's not dead? I'm just proving to those who think they have a lot of logic that there's more to us than what you are seeing on the outside. Yeah. Now, the Bible calls it an inner man. There's a you that's just like you, standing on the inside of you, with fingers and eyes and tongue and everything. It's just you. Yeah. Please go and read Luke chapter 16. Go back on the look for the messages and listen to them. But I'm only taking my time because I need you to understand that the concept of three in one is not as difficult as you think. We say that our God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One, three, same, different. It's not as difficult as you think. And it's all over the earth. Water, running water, ice, vapor. It's the same thing. Same thing. So it's just to help you to unblock your mind a little bit. So now in the same way, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We don't have a problem with the Father and Jesus. Or we have a problem. Do we have a problem? I think that one is quite simple. Now, what it is that the reason why we talk about the Holy Spirit as the third is simply because that's the third revelation of God that is there. We see God the Father talking to people in the beginning of the Bible. You see, you keep seeing that, and the Lord said he was going to talk to Moses. Moses had to go up to the mountain and talk to him, etc., etc. Then as for Jesus, they are easy. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see him coming around talking as a human being. We ain't got a problem with that. And then in the book of Acts chapter 1, he leaves and he goes up to heaven. Do you have a problem with that one too? Our problem is with the spirit, and the problem is because he's a spirit. But you need to understand that so are you. You also have a you. That's a spirit. That's in you. That's the person who, when he leaves, you are dead. Hey, mercy, oh, mercy, 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 mercy. Let's do a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we meet him all over the scriptures, you see. And I need to tell you that the manifestation of God that's on earth right now is the Holy Spirit. Let's look for God the Father. Where is he right now? Where is God the Father right now? Where is he? He's in heaven. He's in heaven. I'll give you a scripture. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Isaiah was saying something. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He was in heaven. He's still there. He's always been there. Then we find that Jesus also, after walking on earth, he came here as man to be with us, to die for us, because he had to help us out. But after that, he went back into heaven. And we have scriptures that show us where he is right now. Can I give you a few scriptures? Jesus himself told us in John chapter 16 and verse 7, you know, let me, I'm going to read it in the NLT and in the KJV, just so that I like the KJV. But I realize our English teacher died early. So I'll read it in the KJV, then I'll turn it to modern English. And he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. That word expedient, that's why I said that your teacher died early. Expedient means it's better for you. So he says, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come to you. So he was the one who told us that he's going to leave. He's going to leave. You see, okay, for those of you who need ordinary English. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. Now, you notice that the King James calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter, and the NLT calls him the Advocate. Now, the reason is simply because the Bible is translated from another language, and that language has one word, paraclete. We don't have the equivalent. Are you there? We don't have the equivalent. If you think of your mother tongue, there are some words that mean many things. The same word, but it means many things. So paraclete also means many things. And that's why the Amplified Bible is complex. What they do is that the Amplified Bible, all the meanings of that word will be written there. So you can see that that one word, paraclete, it meant so many things. It means advocate. It means comforter. It means helper. It means teacher. It means standby. It means, are you there? It means so many things. But these are all what the Holy Spirit is to us. You there or you know there? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm just proving to you that Jesus is in heaven. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So it's telling us the same thing. Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, the stoning of Stephen, you know. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, this is Stephen, he looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So we have so much proof that we know where Jesus is. Are you okay so far? You see, so when Jesus was living, so there's always been God communicating with man, either God the Father or God the Son. And in our dispensation, remember, Jesus told us, if I don't go, he won't come. Who is the he? Holy Spirit. We've just passed the week of Pentecost, you know, the week of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit made his first entry into, you didn't know that that's what it is. Amen. Are you in the church this morning? Oh, tell your neighbor that you have got to bring some downness today. I mean, oh, you are just listening. You are just listening. Okay. You are okay. Are you there? Yeah. So we know where Jesus is. Now, as he was going, he left his equivalent here with us. I'm taking my time to say all this so that you are able to understand how important it is to know who this Holy Spirit is. And to not just know who he is. He is the... Oh, these people are going to take me into things. He is the... Excuse me for using the word, the part of God that we talk to today. The part of God. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. You've been saying it every Sunday, you say, but you don't even know that it's a scripture. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. You see, it's just telling us what each part of God is doing. You see, then it says, and the communion, to commune means to relate. Can you give me another version, please? Uh-huh. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Are you there? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one that we can commune with, communicate with, talk to. You know, can talk to him. Just like, you see, when Jesus was here, the apostles, they spoke to him. It doesn't mean they didn't pray. They had prayer times. They are the same people who asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. But you see that they talked to him. Are you in the church? Yeah. Hey, mercy for me. They talked to him. And it's the same for us. The Holy Spirit is here. Now, because we don't seem to recognize that, we bypass him all the time. And because of that, there are many things we don't understand. So there are believers here today. You are a Christian. You are born again. But you don't understand anything. And you don't even know that Christianity is as rich as it is towards you. That God has made so much provision for you. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to take this in the NLT. Let's go from verse 9. I want to take it in simple English. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. Are you there? So if you push the Holy Spirit away, you won't understand anything. That's why you can open your Bible. You can be looking at it. Have you ever read scripture? When you finish, it made no sense. It was not. In fact, we ask you, what did you read? You can't even. You see. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Are you reading what I'm reading? Yeah. Then it goes on to say, no one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. You see, as you are sitting here, you have thoughts that nobody knows about. Yes. Are you there? Things you've never said to anybody. You have not said it. You have not said it. You have never told anybody that you don't like yourself. Yeah. You have never told anybody. There are people who are married, they don't like their spouse. They feel that it was a mistake that they made, but they've never said it. Yeah. But their spirit knows. Their spirit knows. Are you in the church? Yeah. Or you are there, you believe that you are better than everybody. You have never said it, but your spirit knows that that's what you think. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. You see, our inability to communicate with the Holy Spirit or to allow him close to us or to allow him to be part of our lives has made it such that then the wonderful things God has given to us, we don't even know. We don't even know. That's why you are afraid of the witch in your village. That's why you are in despair that your bad habits cannot break. You see, because there are wonderful things he's given to us, but you don't know. But you don't know. Are you there? Yeah. I mean, as a pastor, I watch all the time and I see young ladies, a nice gentleman who has a future has come your way. But because you don't know anything, then you let him go. Yeah. You don't know NATO. And you rather go and look for the guy who appears exciting. We don't marry because the person appears exciting. Hey, it's not the excitement that we used to be married. I watch young men just turn away, push away proper girls. And then they go for something. And I can say, this way, this thing is going to disturb you. You have no idea. But you see, it is because a certain walking with the Holy Spirit that should be with you, he's not there. He's the one who would have told you, I know this. No. He knows the end. He knows the future. You know, you are looking at now to judge the future. Are you in the church? Yeah. And Pastor, me, I don't like this type of girl. You see, this girl, she has had more boyfriends than me before. God knows what he has done in her. And the humility that has come in her life by virtue of what she has been through. And he knows that this is the kind you don't like. Go for the one that you think you like. When you are smelling pepper. When you are smelling pepper. I'm just giving you examples. Are you in the church? When you are going towards your exams, I tell you that ask the Holy Spirit what's in the... Some of you don't do it. How do I know you don't do it? That's your grade D. You will never ask the Holy Spirit such a question and come with a D. Oh. You are doing your two known. That's your C that you got. You think Holy Ghost is not C that he gives. Please. You didn't ask him. Or when you asked, you went on to do your own thing because you don't know that he is actually a proper... Are you there? The Bible says the wonderful things. He's given us wonderful things. But you can't know because you need to relate to his spirit. His spirit, which like your spirit that knows all your secrets, his spirit knows all his secrets. And if you had allowed him, he would have shared some things with you. It's not everything the Holy Spirit will tell you. See, even as I'm standing here, it's not everything in my mind that I'll tell you. You see, but he can guide you in a certain way. Just lead you this way, this way, this way, this way. This way. Are you in the house? Or you are annoyed? You have gone back. You see, I've not even started my day's message and time is almost up. But I'm taking my time because I need you to understand. You see, when we started this whole series, the idea was to try to introduce ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We spoke about the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, because he is a person. He is a person. If you attempted to speak to him, you know that he's a person. Yeah. You can talk to a person. How do we know he's a person? He can feel. He can think. He can see all the attributes of a person. He has them. Are you there? Remember, it's just like you. Your spirit is in you. As you are looking with your physical eyes, your spiritual eyes are also there. That's why when somebody is demonized, when we are casting out the demons, sometimes we can see it in your eyes. Who is looking out of the window? Are you in the house? One day. Reinhard Bonnke went to a shop. He needed to buy a new piano. And he went to the shop. And when he got to the instrument shop, the guy selling the shop was standing, the instruments were standing at the door. A wretched unbeliever. He was standing there smoking a cigar, didn't mind anybody. So Reinhard Bonnke passed him, and then he came, said they are looking for pianos. So they came to stand in the pianos area, and they were looking at this one and this one, this one and this one, this one and this one. All of a sudden, he realized that the man who had been at the door was following him around. And then the man stopped him, and the man came to stand in front of him. And tears began to pour down his eyes. What has happened? He had not opened his mouth. He had not said anything. He had not told the guy who is nothing. And the guy said, I can see Jesus in your eyes. I wonder what they'll see when they look in your eyes. I said, I wonder what spirit will be looking through. And I remember that when Reinhard Bonnke told the story, then he said, you know, Jesus lives within us, and occasionally he looks out to see what is going on. He looks out. I wonder who he looks out through your eyes. I wonder. Are you in the church? So the part of God, the part of the Godhead that speaks to us is the Holy Spirit. You can't take the voice of God, God the Father. You can't take it. You cannot take it. One time, the children of God were misbehaving. The Israelites were misbehaving. They said they want to hear. They want to go and hear God, that Moses has been sharing his home over them. So they also want to go and hear. So they walked to the mountain. When they got their first instruction, no animals should come here. Hey. Next instruction, don't come any closer. Hey. When they heard the voice of God, when they heard the thunder, they bowed. They said, Moses, go and come. We have changed our mind. Go and come. When Jesus was walking as man on earth, we could talk to him. But after he was glorified and he reached heaven, you can't talk to him. John the Revelator met him in the book of Revelations. Are you there? Look at it, Revelation chapter 1, verse 40, verse 15. His feet were like fine brass, and they as they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many, many waters. And he says in the next verse, in verse 17, that I just fell at his feet. You would have been falling all over the campus if Jesus has to be talking to you. Are you there? They have left the Holy Spirit. He is the one on earth with us now. And he is the one, Jesus said, he'll be with us to the end. Are you there? So Old Testament, God the Father was in charge. New Testament, Jesus has arrived on earth. Acts, Jesus has gone. From there, all the way to the end, is we and the Holy Spirit. If you won't take the time to learn about this person called the Holy Spirit, learn how he is, how will you even hear him? How will you even hear him? Are you in the church? For you to be blessed by somebody, the more you know. Why did, what's his name? Muna, why was he listening or watching Benny Hinn on? Why was he watching the service? He was watching because he knew that, hey, this guy, he's a very powerful guy. I'm sure he doesn't spend every evening looking for who to listen to or who to watch. It's what he knew of him that made him this. I cannot let this thing pass. Are you there? What you know of the Holy Spirit is what will make you decide that, let me get closer. Let me fellowship with him. Let me flow with him. So we learned about the person of the Holy Spirit. And then I believe that last week, or I don't know when, you talked about the oil of the Holy Spirit, which we, you know, because you see, he's not oil. He's not oil. Don't make a mistake. Tell your neighbor, don't make a mistake. Ah, please bring me a bottle of oil. Let me see where the oil was made from. No, it doesn't matter. I just want to show you. This is our most popular oil in church. So he's Borges oil. Tell me, but don't be funny. It came from a factory. However, there are things about the Holy Spirit that resemble oil. And so as you get to know it, you get to relate to him like that. you can also pray and the oil, it becomes something else. Are you in the church? But it's the same also with water. Today, we're going to be talking about the dove of the Holy Spirit. There's also another, what should I say? Emblem or attribute or something about the Holy Spirit. Hey, Charlie. The dove of the Holy Spirit. And the book that we have been studying is Flow in the Anointing. You can find it online. There is actually a group that you can join. That's the link in on Telegram. So if you have Telegram, you can easily get this book and just open it. Today we are dealing with what's in chapter 8. And you see, these are things that should help you and bless you. Amen? When I think, for example, of the Holy Spirit as oil, what does one of the things about oil? Something that creates friction. When you put oil on it, it suddenly smoothly, yeah. So when I think about it, that aspect of the Holy Spirit in my life will bring a certain smoothness, a certain ease to the things I'm doing. Are you there? If we didn't have oil in our engines, the cars will burn because the friction will be so much, the heat will be so much. But just by the presence of the oil, the thing is running smoothly. Just by the presence of the oil of the Holy Spirit in my life, the difficult things can begin to be smoothened over. Amen. And today we're dealing with that aspect of him that is like a dove. Very, very, very important. Very important, as we will discover. John chapter 14. In fact, it's probably from 15, but you let's go. I'm reading John 14. If you want to know more about the Holy Spirit, you find him in John. That's a good place to start, you know. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Now, one of the reasons why we keep on using different versions is that some of them, when it's explained, you understand it better. It's easier to understand. Okay, so it's not that King James dropped from heaven and then the rest were manufactured on earth. King James itself is a translation. Yeah. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father and he'll provide you another friend. Now, Message Bible says another friend. King James says a comforter. NLT says an advocate. Are you seeing it? Uh-huh. He'll give you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. Those of you who have been crying, I'm alone, I'm lonely. You have to begin to practice and say, Lord, help me to be aware of your presence, Holy Spirit. You'll not be lonely again. Yeah. One of the things that has made Benihin a very powerful preacher is that for 3 years after I became a Christian, nobody talked to him in his house. And his only companion was the Holy Spirit. So it's like when you enter your house, the only person you can speak to is the Holy Spirit. This friend is the Spirit of truth. Are you seeing it? The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him and doesn't know what to look for. So this series that we are teaching is so that you know what to look for. Are you there? But you know him already because he has been staying with you. He's even in you. Can you imagine? You have somebody staying with you and you don't know. Hey. Now, why is he called the dove? You see, let me give you some examples of things that are not animals, but we relate it to an animal. When you say somebody has ratted out on you. Another word is rat. Doesn't mean the person is a rat. No, it's that aspect of the person that we are talking about. You get it? All right. What about the friend who betrayed you? You are going to share with the friend how you like that guy, this and that, before you were aware. Hey! Ah! You call the person what? A snake. Does it mean the person has become an anaconda? No. 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 You see, the way snakes behave, that's why you are saying that. Hey, one night I entered my room very late in the night. We had arrived after a meeting. Charlie, there on the floor in my room was a snake. Ah, she's not a nice feeling at all. You see, it's a something feeling. It's like, hey, there's a breach. There's a gap. There's a something. But we call them snakes, even though they are human beings. Intelligent, super intelligent people, we call them sharks. Why do we say sharks? Because the food chain, the top of the food chain is the shark. So we are simply, that's why. So we are simply saying that a guy is a shark. Just say, wabing. A person. Hallelujah. And so we relate the Holy Spirit. There are aspects of him that are like a dove. But let's not forget Matthew 5:16. Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straight away out of the water. The heavens were open. And he said he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. You see, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Amen. So there's this aspect of the Holy Spirit that is like a bird. That's like something that lands and lifts. Something that flutters, you see. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. That word moved. Another translation of it is to flutter. To flutter, you see. So all this shows us that there's something about the Lord. There's something about the Spirit. He lands. So he's imagine a bird that has landed to sit here. Will it affect what you do? Yes. At least if you want to keep it there. You want to keep it there. What will you do? Gentle, you see. Yeah, gentle. So today we're just talking about three things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sensitive like a dove. That's number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit has dove's eyes. And number three, the dove of the Holy Spirit loves company. Let's take the first one, the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. The sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Are you in the church? Sensitive like a dove. So in Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, how many of us know about the flood, Noah's flood? Yeah. I thank God that he says he will not destroy the earth again by flooding, because if the evil of Noah's day was such that he brought a flood, I don't know what he would have done to us today. Maybe the water would have been boiling. Or something, like not just flooding, but, or something. I mean, it would have been, you see. But you see, when this guy wanted to know, Noah wanted to know whether, have the waters receded or not, he sent out a raven. We can read this in Genesis 8, you know, but let me just tell you what it is, because I'm running short of time, you see. He sent a raven. Ravens are dirty birds. So when the raven went, it didn't come back. It was just flying around, because a raven doesn't mind sitting upon a human carcass to rest. So Abraham realized that now, Charlie. I know I realized that this animal, he's not coming back. I don't even know what is going on, you know. So he went for a dove. Now the reason he went for a dove is that a dove is a very sensitive animal. When the dove went out and he looked around, and the only thing where he would have gone to sit were rotting things. Remember, there had been a flood. Everything had died. He returned. Are you there? Hey. You see, so he had to send him again. And when he sent the dove again, this time the dove came back with a branch. And that was how Noah got to know that at least it's safe. Now we can start to come out of our homes. You see, a dove is a very sensitive thing. A bird is very sensitive. You can't just behave anyhow if you want that dove to be close to you. Are you with me? Hey, you are very quiet. Oh. Yeah. It is a big problem in the church today. And it is one of the reasons why many churches do not have the presence of God. It is also one of the reasons why the presence of God can be there and then disappear. And he will disappear because of disturbance. Anybody who is sensitive in the spirit, we don't like people walking around when we are preaching. It's not because we need it. Or it's like, I'm so whatever. No, it is because there's something sitting on my shoulder. Don't do and let him go. If you let him go, that's the end of the service. I can't do much more. Are you in the church? It is also the reason why Sometimes you notice that a person ministering, the person can send a very sharp message. I'm trying to keep the presence of the Spirit, and you over there who have refused to do your homework, you have brought feedback. That just that, it will lift. I remember many years ago, I had a camp, and I'd been, as for this feedback issue, we have been on it, not today. And I'd been on it. So I decided that this time, I will teach them a lesson. So we were worshiping in the camp. Camp worship can be very nice. Everybody's concentrating. And then, you see, if a mic faces a speaker, there'll be feedback. So in the middle of nice worship, I took my microphone and I put it in front of the speaker. And everybody snapped out of wherever they were. I said, yeah, that is the effect of the nonsense. So it's not, you need to understand why we're just trying to let Holy Spirit just be here. Just be here with us. You see? And he'll be here with us. We're trying. Then you are sitting there chatting, laughing. And he can just go. And because of that, somebody's ministration that should have come, it won't come. You see that you are very quiet. Are you there? Yeah. And we need him. When Jesus was on earth, Jesus stayed on earth from the day he was born till the day he was 30 years. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing until he went and he was baptized. And I read the scripture to you that the Holy Spirit came like a dove. Then and only then did he start ministering. If Jesus in the form of a man needed the dove of the Holy Spirit to come, who are we to say we don't need him? That's your dry basenta meeting. Hey, the dove is not there. You have sucked him by all your coconut. Are you there? The dove of the Holy Spirit stayed with Jesus for as long as Jesus lived on earth. Are you there? Hey, you are very quiet. You are now thinking. You see. So it's very important because we need his presence. We need him to be there. We need him to stay. How many of you were here on Friday? Okay. Do you remember at a point we stopped the whole service? Why? We had to do a connection because we had planned that we want to enter into the presence of God. We need the Spirit to lead us there. If as we are trying to enter, then the light goes. Pa! That's it. What's the point? Better we stop now. Let's sort it out. Let's sort it out. And I believe it was worth it. Are you in the church this morning? I'm not even understanding your quietness, but okay, we shall take it like that. My time is almost up. Let me give you, let's move on. Do not grieve the Spirit. So now you understand, to grieve, all these are the things that will make him go. Don't grieve him. Ephesians 4, 50. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed. Now, so you have come. Something serious is taking place. Something serious is happening. Are you in the church? Are you understanding what I'm saying, or you're not understanding? Many times he leaves out of grief. These people are not ready for me. These people don't like me. They don't want me. They don't need me. He'll just go. It is Satan who forces. So Satan, when he visits you, he opens the door himself. He'll break the door down and enter. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He wants to be invited. He wants to feel that we love him. He wants to feel that there's a space for him in our lives. So when you behave in a certain way, he just goes. Let's look at scripture. Ephesians 4. Let's go to verse 25. Do you have the good news there? No more lying. Each of you must tell the truth to the other believer because we're all members together in the body of Christ. Are you here? But as we are here, we are liars. Do you see why the Holy Spirit doesn't come close? Or when he comes close, he can't stay? Eh? We see or we don't see? Yeah. You see, lying. Ghanaians are liars by excellence. Goodness gracious me. No, we are known internationally as liars. Yes. Oh, what? Yeah. You want to point to Nigeria? We are like that also. we are also like that. Yes. You see. So embassies that deal with us, they have had to learn how to overcome our lies. That's why they'll tell you that you should go and bring your 86-year-old mother from the village. To show that this is your mother. You see, when you hear the thing, you wonder that what unreasonable people are these. It's not the unreasonable. They have had to deal with our lying over the years. They have learned. Recently, I heard that they now have a machine. When you come and you say that you are this age, then they'll put you in it and just scan you. Because your age and your bone density go together. Why? We have lied. We are looking at the guy. The guy says that he is under whatever, under 20. We should know this guy is a father of 29 years old. Just that he has a baby face. Liars, liars, liars. You wake up, you come, you say that, oh, I went to do my exams. I got an A. You are a bloody liar. You got a poor. You are a liar. You are a thief. And you are sitting in church. Anybody who got a poor here, the Spirit of God is not in you. Oh. No. That's what the Bible says. It says you are of your father, the devil. He's the father of lies. You see, we play with it, oh. We play with it because we have become so used to it. But the Bible says that there's no place in heaven for a liar. And there you are, persistent, consistent liar. All the days of your life, you have been lying. You lied from your wife. You lied in your first year. Lied in your second year. And now in final year, a complete liar. Are you in the church? If you become angry, in fact, I prefer the King James here. It says, be angry, but don't sin. As far as the Holy Ghost is concerned, that's why anger is okay. Yeah. But don't sin. It's the sinning that's the problem. You are angry, so you slapped her. You are angry, so you burned. I know somebody, when the person got angry, then he took everything and went to burn it. Then he says, don't stay angry. He says, look, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And yet we have Christian couples. They can be there 3 months. They have not spoken. Over one anger. I really admire a certain young man. He actually had on his phone. You see, he realized that he's very melancholic. He's easily upset. On his phone, he had an alarm for 5:30. 5:30 every day, he'll do an assessment. Because he knows that somebody has annoyed him, somebody has done this and that. Then we say, look, I'm sorry. Just sort it out so that the sun will not go down on his anger. You have held somebody's sin against them. You have held it down. You are still holding it. Be it known unto you that as you are holding it, God cannot forgive you also your sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that trespass against you too. Your sins are piling up. If you wake up in hell, it's your fault. Yeah. Me, mom, dear, when I get upset, as for today, somebody has upset me, I'm upset, but I won't go to hell because of them. At all. I don't think anybody is the reason why you should go to hell. So that's why when you see what has pained you, you say that, if I go to hell, then the person has got me twice. You got me in my pain, and now I'm going to hell because of you. Mommy and Jim, let me leave it. Let me leave it. And human beings are very wicked, though. Yeah. Hey. The thing called a human being. If you follow us, you go to hell. What? This Gen Z generation, you see people blasting their parents. Everything is somebody else's fault. It's because my mother did. It's because my father did. You will never accept that it's your lousy nature that has brought you where you are. You are grown up now. Sort it out. It's enough. Hey, Charlie. And my mental health. Your mental what? Of course you are mental. Of course you'll be mental. When I hear the mental health business, can I be BIME? Let's continue in the King James. Neither give place to the devil. You see, the scripture says that you are the one who gives the place. The guy there, he's walking around, though. He's looking for where he'll come and lodge. And you gave him place. 28, continue. Let him that stole question papers steal no more. Let him that stole. Some of you, when your phone is stolen, then you get up and you go and buy. You say it's a second-hand phone. It's cheap. What do you think you are buying? Stolen goods. Be it known unto you, according to the law, the one who stole and the one who bought what he stole, both are prosecuted. Say, steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands. Work on it and ask the Holy Spirit to be your helper. It's because we have refused to relate to, we're looking for a shortcut. It's not short, oh. Shortcut. I remember one time, we had a certain watchman. Very nice guy. He was always there. An older man. And one day, I don't know if you remember him. Nalu rested. Oh, School of Hygiene. Every day this man would come. Then suddenly one day, he didn't appear. So after a couple of days, we followed up to the house to find out what had happened. He said, oh, every day when he's coming, he bikes and he passes a certain route. And one day, he says somebody told him that there's a shortcut. So he started using the shortcut. What he didn't know was that the shortcut was actually going through somebody's farm. So when the farming season began, the person ran barbed wire, you know, to ward off, goats and whatever. He didn't know that day. So he was biking full speed as usual. By the time he saw the barbed wire, now you're late. At I don't know what kilometers per hour, straight into the barbed wire. The barbed wire broke and it just encircled. You said shortcut. Keep looking for shortcut. Wow. It will come for your teeth. Why not rather allow the dove to be close and to just sit here and be talking to you? You have rather gone to steal, to join the thieves. Your roommate, Stu, you are the one who has been stealing. I'm talking about the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and why he cannot stay. He can't stay. The lying, the stealing. You see, let me tell you something. Ghana, the way we pray, it's one of the things that has made us a blessed nation. But these behaviors is what has made us a cursed nation. The lying, the stealing. Our economy doesn't work because of the thieves. And the liars. Yeah. What? Let's move on. I have to finish in 5 minutes. Do not quench the Spirit. Don't quench the dove. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't quench him. Don't quench him. And that is what happens when the Spirit is moving. And some of you are so dead to the Spirit, you can't even tell that the atmosphere has changed. This is not the time to move. Yes, you want to pee, but not at this time. Are you there? I mean, Christian, we can be so without discipline. You go to a church. I mean, I preach all over the place. You go to a church. Children are running up and down. I remember one church, I couldn't help it. I told them that I've lived in the Muslim North for 15 years. I've never, they pray 5 times a day. They have never ever seen a child crossing like that when they are praying. We are without sense. Right? Church has become very quiet. Because you are disturbing. You see, then what pains me is that then the mother is angry with the child. Don't be angry with the child. It is not in the nature of a 2-year-old to sit still. 2-year-old who's sitting still. Do you want a 2-year-old who sits? I don't even want. Because it means the child is sick. Or that's why we try to create a place so the children too can be there. Hey, I remember going to a place. As for that one, I almost died. They were doing deliverance on somebody. Deliverance. You know, the person can fall anyway. The manifestation, before I looked, they had left it. The child came to walk in between the. And I remember sitting down there. And the guy was a big guy like that. And I said, if he falls on this child, or if the demon even leaves, remember, children are open. If the demon even leaves that person into the child, what is going to happen? Yeah, to say, your friend is saying, yeah. Yeah, quenching the Spirit. You see a man of God, he's moving, he's working, then you see two ashes talking. Oh, we were just organized. And you see some, so it is that desperation that makes the person rebuke openly like that. Uh-huh. Because it's like, I'm dependent on this voice here. If he lifts, I can't continue. Somebody who came with a need will not be ministered to. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit came. Everything is set for the ministration to that person. Then some idiot, devoid of the Spirit, unable to understand spiritual things. I remember one time I was praying about somebody clearly. The lady put in the cloth. She was coming in. The way I pushed her. Oh, I don't push people in my life. Me cry my strength. And him be, but I tell you, before I knew it, I'm clear off. Before you come and cause spiritual loss, and yeah, financial loss, spiritual loss. You see, you have to become sensitive in your spirit. And so that, oh, Charlie, the Holy Spirit is moving. You see, even as a church that makes noise, we love making noise. But we need to know it's not every time we make noise. You know, I remember at a certain point, I don't remember what was being done. And then somebody wanted to start on the vuvuzela during the Benny Hinn. Not at this time. Not at this time. There's a time for vuvuzela. There's a time for the... But not now. Not now. Not now. Can you imagine? Holy Spirit is moving. He's sitting here. Then you come. Pa! What's going to happen? Do not resist the dove. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye. Hey, may this scripture not be true of us. Stiff-necked. They have told you. They told you stop fornicating. Stop fornicating. Stop fornicating. Stop fornicating. Yeah, can't. Yeah. The Bible says you are stiff-necked. I have to tell you that the book of Proverbs says that the one who is stiff-necked, your neck will be broken. Don't let me say what I don't want to say this morning. Do not blaspheme the Holy the don't blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Blaspheme is when you see you speak an untruth. You see, you speak an untruth. Matthew 12, let's read verse 51. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. You see, to blaspheme is to see A and say it's B. Uh-huh. Like when they saw Jesus, he was doing healings, and they said he's of the devil. That's blasphemy. Are you in the church? Yeah. There are many of you, open your mouth and you blaspheme against the man of God. Be careful. Be careful. You see, Matthew 12, 24. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. I hope you are understanding something. Yeah. Yeah. So some things, when you don't understand it, you see, if you were watching your TV, and then somebody starts to do something, a man of God starts to do something you don't understand, switch channel. Just switch channel. Don't say anything. Don't say anything at all. You see. Hey, they want to control us. You continue. You just continue. Because the Bible says that, are you the one who will judge another man's servant? Do you know what he has told the servant? If you were a reader of your Bible, you would know that weirder things happen in the Bible that if they happen today, we can't stand it. Hey! A prophet who has come to lie naked on one side for 40 days. Goodness gracious me. An ordinary. What about Jesus spitting on the sand and mixing it and pasting it on somebody's eye? Would you not ask him that, have you not heard that Ebola is around? You see, you don't know what God has said to somebody. It's not your place. It's not your place to correct the person. When God is able, God is well able to take care of his people. Or you don't understand what I'm saying to you. So God was not happy with him. But David said, I won't put my hand there. I won't put my hand there. He had the opportunity about 3 times. Saul wanted his life. And if he had killed him, you say, it's either you or me. So as I've got you, I should know. The man has been anointed. I won't do anything. When God was ready, God took him out. God took him out. Clear. Just went to war. This is out. Finish. So another man's servant. Finish. I don't say anything. If I don't like the way the ministration is, please. My father will say, go and watch Animal Farm. Or watch, National Geographic. Or National Geographic. Or watch, Teletubbies. Or watch something that you cannot send. I mean, the animals, what are you going to criticize there? The lion is chasing the antelope and it has caught. Oh, it has caught the. Oh, hey, the antelope is winning. Hey, hey. Go and watch something else. So that you will not vex the Holy Spirit, because you don't know what he has told the person. And I tell you that not everything God says makes sense. Are you there? He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So sometimes he says something that just, he feels so ridiculous, but he's the one talking. Leave it. That's why even as a parent, sometimes we watch our children doing some things and we don't say anything. Because, he's also God's servant. I don't know what God is saying over there to him. Are you in church? Let me try and finish. Do not vex the dove. Do not vex him. Isaiah 65 and verse 10. They rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. You see, if you vex the Holy Spirit, Okay, thank you. Look at it all. When you vex him, he will lift from here. He'll go and turn. When he comes back, he's against you. Look at it there. Are you reading? Therefore, he was what? Turned to what? Can you read? Yeah. Are you seeing it? Yeah. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy and he fought against them. Because of what? Rebellion. And there are many rebels here this morning. You see them saying things, writing things. Be careful. Don't let him lift off from you and go and turn and come against you. No. We are reading it here. I didn't say. You see, God, he's a formidable enemy. Are you there? He's a formidable enemy. When the Egyptians had passed the mark and were chasing the children of Israel, it was God who was playing games. Said, they are chasing you. At least stop them before they enter the water. He did it. He said, let them come. He waited there until the entire army has entered. Then the Bible says that he started. The tires of their chariots got stuck, began to break off. The horses began to fall down. I wouldn't want God as my enemy. I wouldn't want him as my enemy at all. You see. So don't vex him. And it's a vexation when we are saying the same thing to you. He's telling you the same thing over and over. He's had compassion. He's forgiven. He's tried to help you, tried to show you this. And he, over. It's a vexation. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? It's a vexation. And when he's vexed, he turns. Hey, Lord, don't be angry with us. Amen. Number two, remember that number one, we talked about his sensitivity. All this has been about his sensitivity. Let me quickly just go through the last 2 points. The Holy Spirit has dove's eyes. Dove's eyes are particular eyes. You see, the eye of a dove, he can only look in you. You see, if this was a human being, we will see both eyes. Why do we not see both eyes? Because his one eye is looking clearly in this direction. You can't see the two. It's either this side or that side. This side or that side. Job chapter 36 and verse 7. He does not take his eyes off the righteous. Oh, when I saw this scripture, I was so encouraged. He doesn't take it off. You know, have you ever felt alone in your issues? Have you ever felt that he's not answering? Have you ever felt that he's not hearing? I beg you, he says he hasn't taken his eyes off. His eyes are still on you. Amen? Hey, am I talking to believers? His eyes are still on you. You see, I want you from today to say, Holy Spirit, help me to be aware of you. It's the awareness we don't have. But if you had the awareness, sometimes you even feel him physically. Are you there? Trying to just come close to you. Let me see my next slide. I have some two doves there. Who are, you see, just coming close to you. Yeah. Very important. Are you there? I was in the middle of my PhD, if not the middle, I'm close to the end of my PhD when I had a miscarriage many years ago. And I was just totally devastated for many reasons. And I actually wanted to leave and come home because I was just in pain. And I remember lying in the bed after coming from the hospital and just thinking that, ah, God, this pain is too much for me. I can't. Because apart, it wasn't even so much the physical, it's a pain in your heart because nobody knows. But to you, you feel that you've lost a child. Are you there? Yeah. And I was lying there when it was as though somebody put a blanket over me and wrapped me in the blanket. And I fell asleep. When I woke up, that pain, that desperation that I will leave and I'll go home and I will, it had gone. And as I grew, you see, to learn about the Holy Spirit, I felt that he just came close. He just came close. He doesn't always stop the heartbreak thing from happening. Are you there? Like those of you who've lost a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You've prayed, let my mother not go, let my father not go. But you and I are not the determinants of the length of anybody's life. Jesus himself, I don't know why Jesus left at 33. I don't know why John the Baptist left at a similar age. So we don't know a lot of things. But what he does is to send us help. Are you seeing it? And the Holy Spirit just comes close. Amen. Psalm 139 and verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? In other words, he's there. He's with us all the time. You should take some time and read 139 because he talks about the fact that even if I go to the bottom of the sea, cry, you are there with me. If I make my bed down there, cry, you are there with me. Hallelujah. And our last point says that the dove of the Holy Spirit loves company. He loves company. He loves company. You know, there's something about the dove. Doves live in, what should I say? They live in folds. You see them all together. They marry one, but they easily come together, fly together. Are you there? He loves company. I notice in my office that when I'm there are some birds that come there. And they make themselves known. They'll tap the window. That's all. You see, they can see that there's somebody there and they want company. And the Holy Spirit, he enjoys our company. I do not know why. That doesn't even make sense. Ask your neighbor, does it make sense that he wants your company? You. But he's more eager to come than we believe. We are the ones who erect the barriers and feel that I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not this enough. But he wants to come. He wants to come closer. My prayer is that we'll remember these three things. That the Holy Spirit is sensitive like a dove and let it affect our behavior. We'll remember that he has dove's eyes and those eyes are fixed on us. Amen. And we should remember that he likes company. He wants to come around. That is why when you begin to practice the awareness of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you see that even as you want to leave your quiet time and end, you can't end. There's something just saying, oh, a few more minutes. Just let's continue a little longer. Are you there? Or you didn't notice that on Friday as we were trying to close, we couldn't close. A few more minutes. Just be a little longer. May he love our company. You know, my prayer for you is that I don't want to pray that you have money. I don't want to pray that you have a job. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will be close to you. Because if he's with you, no matter where, when, how, what, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Stand to your feet this morning. Stand to your feet this morning. And this morning, you are not praying, you are talking. And you're just telling that you want to get to know him. Just talk to the Holy Spirit this morning. Just talk to the Holy Spirit this morning. Talk to the Holy Spirit. And just talk to him as you talk to a person. When I'm talking to a person, my eyes are not closed. I'm just talking. Tell him that you want to get to know him more. You want to be aware of him. In fact, that's one thing I want you to ask him for. Let me be aware. Let me be aware that you are here. Let me be aware. Because if I'm aware, it will help me to modify my behavior so that you will stay there. So that you will stay on my shoulder. Just talk to him. Just talk to him for a few minutes. Talk to him for a few minutes.
Holy Spirit, want to know you.
Talk to him for a few minutes.
Want to know how to
tell him something.
Holy Spirit, we want to be aware of your presence. Oh, Holy Spirit, we don't want to hurt you. Holy Spirit, we don't want to do anything that will drive you away. We want to get to know you. Holy Spirit, we want to hear your voice. We want to get to know you.
There's a song by Keith Green. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving Your spirit in the work on earth. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit. This place, to worship Him. We have come into this house, and we have gathered in His name to worship Him.
Gathered in His name to worship Him.
We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord.
Worship Him, Christ the Lord.
I want you to lift your voice in prayer for another minute, just one more minute. Say, Lord, help us to know your Spirit. Help us to know your Spirit. Help us to know your Spirit.
Oh, Father, help us.
Help us to know you.
Father, help us know you.
Oh, yes. Help us to concentrate on you.
Holy Spirit, help us know you. Oh, yes.
Let there be a change in our lives and in our church. Change us, Lord. We are so earthly bound. But let your Spirit and your presence be what we long for. Oh, just come in when we are here. We don't need to invite you, Lord, because we belong to you. The church is yours. We are yours. Just have your way among us. Forgive us for our obtuseness and the times when we don't even acknowledge your presence. We're sorry. Forgive us. But help us to be aware.
Oh, yes, Lord.
To be aware.
Oh, yes, Lord.
To be aware.
Be aware, Lord.
As every head is bowed this morning and every eye is closed, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus if you haven't. That's the beginning. That's the start. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is to help you to understand that you need to be born again, that you need to be saved, that your name needs to be written in the book of life. If you don't have that assurance, please let us obey the scripture. Jesus says that you need to be born again in order to see God. Without it, you're not going anywhere. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's not according to goodness or badness. But he says that except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. He cannot see the kingdom. And then he says that you must confess what you believe in your heart. Open your mouth and confess it. And that confession must be made before men. And so you are here this morning. Maybe you've been in church a long time, but you never have done it for whatever reason. But today is an opportunity. And I don't want you to let this opportunity to go. I want you to feel that the Holy Spirit is beckoning you and saying, come to Jesus and come and get to know me better and have me in your life. And so if you are here this morning and you sense that you're not sure about this, you have not given your life to Christ, or you're just not sure of your stand at this time, I want you to come. Just lift up your hand. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together. I don't want you to feel shy of anybody. But if your hand is up, just come to me and let us pray this prayer together. Just come. Just come. Come and let us pray together. You want to say, Lord, this is a beginning. I've heard about the Holy Spirit, but I want to put something right with you. Just come. I want to give you a few more minutes. And if it's you, you'll know because your spirit is agitated within you. Your heart is beating faster. Don't let pride keep you. Father, thank you so much for a morning like this, and thank you for helping us to know your spirit. Draw us closer to you, closer and closer. Let your Holy Spirit have his place in our lives, that will not quench him or vex him or do any of the things that displease him. We thank you so much for your word, in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.